and take up the bill analysis on 1425.
Sorry. So this is an act to strengthen freedom of access protections by allowing remote meetings to be recorded. From Representative Perkins, it amends the same general statute that was addressed in LD 1322. And it amends the portion of the remote participation policy statute that sets forth the minimum requirements for remote participation policy. So no public body has to adopt one, but if they do, there are certain minimum requirements. And this would add a new minimum requirement, which would say that if it adopts remote participation policy, that policy must allow members of the public to record the meeting remotely on the same platform that is used to conduct the meeting, unless that would cause the public body to incur additional costs. It also provides that a public official that willfully violates the bill's provisions or that willfully unduly hinders the public's ability to report a remote meeting commits the civil violation that's set forth in Section 410 of the Freedom of Access Act, which I didn't remember to attach. It might have been handed out separately, but it should be in your folder where it's a civil violation for violation. So if we look at the chart, really what we are talking about is just adding a new requirement in the list of all of the elements that must be in any remote participation policy. And it is about allowing the public to use the platform to do the recording as long as they don't incur additional costs. As far as technical issues, well, the intent, I'm sure you remember this, but the sponsor explained that when someone is participating remotely and if they can't use it, for example, the platform is Zoom, like a feature to just automatically click record, they might use their phone to record it, but they might only have a phone, so they can't like turn the phone on itself to record it. So it can become complicated. And the idea was, as long as it's not going to cost any more money to the public body, why not allow people who are remote to record using that platform, since folks who are in the room can record the proceeding as long as they don't unduly disrupt it. So that actually is something worth mentioning. You've had in your current law handout what it says under current law about recording the proceeding, and that is in section 404 of current law. And so what that provides, current law, not in reference to whether something is remote or not, but it does say that persons are entitled to attend the proceedings and to make written, taped, or filmed records of the proceedings, or even to live broadcast them, as long as doing so doesn't interfere with the orderly conduct of the proceedings. So there was a question posed by a member of this committee about whether adding a similar requirement to say not only, so yes, require that policy say you can use the remote platform to record if it doesn't cost more money and if it doesn't unduly interfere with the conduct of the proceeding. And then there were several issues I had with the way the penalty provision is drafted. First of all, I would note that that penalty, which is in section 410, applies anyway. You don't have to cross-reference it to say that it applies. So section 410 of FOA says that an officer or employee of a state government agency or local government entity who willfully violates this subchapter commits a civil violation. So if somebody is willfully violating, I guess the only thing that's confusing is if you're willfully violating the requirement to have the policy, then you've committed the civil violation. The second phrase, which occurs to me now that I'm talking about it out loud, may be something you want to include, but maybe redraft it a little bit. So the second phrase that is added here about a penalty is if you willfully unduly hinder the public's ability to record a meeting, then you'd also be violating section 410. So as you read it literally, what does section 410 cover under current law? Any violations of FOA. FOA would require you to have this provision in your policy. So the only thing that you could be violating is not having it in your policy. So it might be, if you want this, have the second section that says maybe your policy says somebody can use the platform, but the person turned off the function because they didn't want so-and-so to report it. That, to capture that, you would need separate language. I'm not in love with this language, though. I think it's really hard to understand what it means to willfully unduly hinder something. Maybe that's really clear to everyone else. Thinking off the top of my head, ways that this could be maybe changed a little bit. Keep the requirement if you like it, that the policy provide this, that if it doesn't cost more, you allow the recording. And maybe make either a new subsection or put it in 404 and say the remote participation policy requires this and you impede it, then that's violation. Maybe making that clear. I'm sure I could do it if you want to maybe do it. I could think about how to make it work the best. And I would try to not say willfully unduly here.
I just have a question for you. Does this really add anything above and beyond that little paragraph? Add anything above and beyond what the impact that 410 as it's now written would have?
So when I was writing this bill analysis over the weekend, I thought it wouldn't add anything. But as I started talking to you, I realized it might. So I think if you didn't have lines 20 to 21 and you enacted lines 17 to 19 of the bill, the only way to violate that would be to not have as part of your policy a requirement that remote participation recordings happen if it's possible. So I think the second phrase, which is talking about willfully unduly hindering the ability to record, is actually a really important one. It's kind of a wordy one, but it's a really important one to say, you don't just have to have it in your policy, you also have to follow it. So, and I don't know if that's supposed to be inherent in the statute now, but why not make it clear?
Thank you. Other questions, Representative Lee?
I know the bill sponsor is here now, so this question I might be asking the bill sponsor for clarification on this, but it seems to me like we might be overly complicating what is a pretty simple request, which is if a meeting can be recorded via Zoom or whatever other platform, it should be recorded. And so I'm wondering if it may make sense to have a requirement of these policies be that if the remote method utilized by the public body permits recording the meeting, recording the meeting without additional expense, the municipality or whatever public body must do that. And then it would become a public record.
Thank you, Representative Lee. Could you
begin by introducing yourself again,
sorry,
please?
I apologize.
Thanks.
Representative Chad Perkins, District 31. So if you require recording, there's going to be expense. Depending on the platforms, for example, Zoom, we'll use that as an example, and all platforms are different. If you have a commercial account with Zoom, they give you a certain amount of cloud storage for free. Okay. But if you regularly host meetings, that cloud storage is going to, based on what codec you use, what size and quality and what options you choose, whether you're going to have a monolithic screen or whether you're going to choose the everybody's screen individually and whether or not to have, shared whiteboards recorded individually, you're going to run out of that storage very quickly. And if you, if you're hosting weekly or daily meetings, you're going to spend a lot of money on storage. Either paying the cloud storage or if you're storing them remotely, you're going to have some kind of hardware to store that. So if we require entities, municipalities, agencies, departments to record them, then that is putting an expense on that entity. And the purpose of this bill was not to put any additional expense by allowing recording in the same manner that if someone showed up in person to record, they could put the right of the citizen to record is still there, but without putting any expense on the public entity.
Representative Sheehan.
Thanks, Madam Chair, and thank you. I think my question is, I'm really sympathetic to the intent of this bill, and I think everyone should be able to record whether they're there in person or participating remotely, but my concern is that the recording has to be allowed using the remote meeting platform that the body or municipality or government has chosen, because I think Representative Henderson may have brought this up. Around the question of disruptive like disrupting the orderly conduct of the proceedings. We heard a lot of examples, especially early in 2020 when people started using Zoom, when participants were given access to administrator privileges, they would share, sometimes people would join the meeting and share disruptive, disturbing, violent images. And I guess my question is there a way to guarantee that participants can record these meetings without opening up the proceedings to really disruptive and disturbing content being shared?
There should be. So even with Zoom, there's several ways to allow and disallow recording. When I first got Zoom, in order to allow recording, it had to be allowed from the host side. I had a nice meeting yesterday with the ombudsman over at the AG's office. And after talking to her and listening to her description of how it worked, I was like, oh, that's kind of different than the way I use it. So I went back, and knowing that software versions change and even the same version on different operating systems change, I went back and looked at a current version that was on one of my computers. And it's a little bit different than when I'd first gotten it. But it was actually better than what I thought it was. So even with Zoom, you can enable or disable recording, but it's actually enabled by default. They actually have to actively disable it. But with Zoom, recording by default is on the local side. So unless you actively disable recording on Zoom, the client should be able to record. And that doesn't have anything to do with allowing anybody that is participating either as a participant or just as someone watching from giving them any privileges. And almost all clients allow you, as long as you're participating, you should be able to record. I know when I spoke with you guys the other day, and again, based on my use of Zoom in that capacity, you actually had to enable recording. But as it stands now, recording's allowed unless it's specifically disabled, which was interesting because when I talked to the ombudsman yesterday, you know, the one thing she did mention was, well, you know, we are forcing the entity to actually click a button, which is a affirmative action on their part. But based on what I found out last night, they're actually taking an affirmative action now to disallow recording. So that's even a little more, I think, in favor of my argument at this point. But again, one of the questions that was asked me last time was, had I talked to the ombudsman, and I hadn't had a chance to, but I have now, and I think that was a very informative meeting. There was one concern, speaking of keeping recordings, that there was, you know, if we have all these agencies that are streaming, and then we put this into law, that these agencies might say, well, now we're allowing recording, or we're ensuring recording. And so we're going to have to start keeping our own records to make sure that we have a good and true copy of these meetings, since the public's now able to do this. And there's where that cost comes in. And my answer, I think those are valid concerns. I think there was one agency here in the state that submitted testimony to that. And my response, and I know not all of you know my background, but in addition to being a law enforcement officer, I act as an expert witness and as a consultant to insurance companies, to the courts, the law enforcement agencies, to attorneys, as an expert witness in computer crimes and forensic data, forensic data analysis and digital forensics. And any agency, whether it's a town, a state agency, a tenant organization, if they're streaming right now, and that's a concern of theirs right now, whether they allow recording or not, they should already be making recordings. It doesn't matter if they allow recording or not. If they can put it out there where we can see it, then somebody can take that, manipulate it, make it look like it came from that agency, whether they allow recording of it or not. So while those are valid concerns, I don't think passage or non-passage of this bill has any effect on that. So thank you for allowing me to just speak up my mind. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you. Other questions, committee members? Representative Kuhn?
Thank you. I guess for me, I'm wondering if there's someone we could talk to from IT or someone with real expertise in the Zoom platform, because the only hang up for me is the actual granting of recording privileges. And I really want to make sure that can be done in a way that's not disruptive to the meeting. So I'm just wondering if there's a way for us to run that down because the description that you gave is promising, but it's contrary to my experience, so I just want to make sure.
Yep.
Janet?
We could ask for expertise, but I did want to completely not parse in a way because we don't know how technology is going to change. We don't know how that will be different in the future, might be different. So my suggestion to you would be, tell me what you want the parameters to be. So if you want parameters to be that it doesn't cost more and that the allowance doesn't give somebody the ability to do something, we can put that in. And then whatever technology changes in the future, a new platform comes out, those guidelines will be out there. And then you can apply it, hopefully, to the new technology. And if it really doesn't work, then we'll have to be amended in the future. But it might make sense to you that way, because what if a town can't afford Zoom and they use a different platform that doesn't have the same kinds of things, and we gave you information. It'll be great on Zoom, and then this town can, like, they have a horrible time because they can't afford Zoom.
If I may, actually, when I wrote the bill, I specifically did put the platform rather than any particular platform. I don't use Windows computers, for example. I use Linux computers exclusively in our business. And I know that even the same, Zoom is different in Linux than it is in Windows or on Mac. But Mac and Windows versions are very, very similar. And for another agency I'm involved with, we use LifeSize over Zoom. So, and I know one town that I'm involved with, they use just Facebook Live. So rather than tie it to one platform and knowing how technology changes, I thought the intent was more important than actually tying it to the platform.
Thank you. And I do believe Representative Kuhn that Representative Poirier has a Zoom-specific answer for you.
For Zoom, I use Zoom constantly. My employer has Zoom. We have hundreds of people on meetings every Monday, every Friday. I can tell you that they actually record the meeting for those that can attend, but besides the point, me as a participant in that meeting, I can also record it, and I'm a participant, so it's the recording that I'm doing is in no way affecting anybody else involved in that meeting. It's just you click the button that says record and you're getting a copy tape. So there's, I don't know how it would actually affect or disrupt anything in any more than me being a participant and saying it's not.
Other representative, please.
I'm struggling with this because I really appreciate Representative Perkins for bringing this issue forward. My inclination would be to say, I'm sorry, public bodies, you have an obligation to record these meetings. I think that's sort of the spirit of the Freedom of Access Act, but I know that that opinion may differ amongst many. And I have very little understanding of the technology. I use Zoom. That's the only platform that I do use. So I don't know capacity issues. I don't know whether it differs if you're doing a seminar versus a regular meeting. I just don't know those questions. And I mean, I'm almost of a mind that we should send this to the Right to Know Advisory Committee with people with technological experience on that committee or consulting those folks and get an answer back as to how can we ensure that these meetings are either being recorded or the capacity for individuals attending the meetings to record them through the systems that are provided. I don't know how to do this without unintended consequences, I guess it's going to get them
started. Thank you, Representative Moriarty.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My reaction to my colleague's comments are as follows. First of all, as been mentioned, technology is changing constantly. So it might go to the Right to the Advisory Committee later this summer, fall of this year. They may come up with something which in a year and a half or 2 years' time is obsolete and has to be redone again. And I think we can simply deal with the language that's in the bill before us and accomplish something without sort of broadening the duty on the part of the community or the public body, the public body that in fact is conducting its meetings and broadcasting them and presumably recording them itself.
Janet?
I just wanted to correct something. So I doubted myself. I always going to get in trouble. So I reread the statute and the way it is written. It is telling you what the contents of the policy have to be, but it also does affirmatively provide, if you follow through all of the sections, that a public body subject to the subchapter may allow members of the body to participate in a public proceeding using remote methods only under the following conditions, and this would be a condition. And so I don't think we need the penalty provision at all. So, and then I reread the email that I had mentioned to you that I attached from Brenda Kielty, also saying that she and Brenda agree with this book and don't need the penalty provision. And then I just did want to tell you that MMA updated its testimony about 2020.
Thank you. All right. So, and I've received a request for a brief caucus. And so let's caucus and come back at 3:45, everyone.
All right, everyone. Thank you for your patience while we caucused.
As a reminder to everyone, the motion is ought to pass as amended. Motion by Representative Poirier and seconded by Representative Lee. The committee is ready for the vote.
And thank you very much, Madam Chair. Senator Carney.
Yes.
Senator Carney votes yes. Representative Moonen.
Yes.
Representative Moonen votes yes. Senator Brayton. Representative Poirier.
Yes.
Representative Poirier votes yes. Representative Galgay-Reckitt.
Yes.
Representative Galgay-Reckitt votes yes. Representative Poon.
Yes.
Representative Poon votes yes. Representative Henderson. Representative Moriarty.
Yes.
Representative Moriarty votes yes. Senator Bailey. Representative Sheehan.
Yes.
Representative Sheehan votes yes. Representative Dana. Representative Lee.
Yes.
Representative Lee votes yes. Representative Andrews. Representative Hagan.
Yes.
Representative Hagan votes yes. I'll recall the absentee, Senator Brakey. Senator Brakey is absent. Representative Henderson. Representative Henderson is absent. Senator Bailey. Senator Bailey is absent. Representative Dana. Representative Dana is absent. Representative Andrews. Representative Andrews is absent. Madam Chair, I have 9 members voting in the affirmative, 0 in the negative, and 5 members are absent. And that is the vote of the committee.
Thank you very much, Clerk Burnett. And so the ought to pass as amended motion carries 9-0 with 5 absences.